Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. And you know, obviously, that wasn't easy for Todd, but he wanted to say something on the air, and I'm glad that he did. It's just, I meant everything I said about him. People that know, listen to this show, people know what I think of Todd, or if you know Todd, he's just one of the best people around. Great family.
Yep.
And, you know, we've been accused of being too tight of a circle here on the morning show, but Lebo's our guy. And, I mean,
I think he's the most fair-minded person I've ever met.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I want to bitch about you, that's the guy I go to, is Todd, and he evens me out.
Is that why you're in his office every day?
Pretty much.
After the show?
No, he's my... I tease him about that. He's my Lord Varys. What do they call him?
Spider.
The Whispers or whatever. He's my advisor. I guess that's what you call him. He's my consigliere.
He's definitely on my personal board of directors.
Right. Yeah. I go to him.
Personal,
you know.
Board of
he's
directors.
He's you know. He's.
I mean, I don't want. Trying to get too far into it, but he's the first person I told in this building that, you know, that I was in recovery from, you know, my alcoholism. You know, that's how, you know, that's, he's one of the first people in my life I told that. And, I mean, that I have never met somebody who is just at their core that good of a person. Like, that he's just a good human being, and he doesn't, like, and it seems so effortlessly. It seems like it's just part of who he is. Now, for me to be nice, I have to try pretty hard. Yeah. You know, for him, it's just.
And
like,
you're still not.
Yeah, right. But, like, to his core, he's just the most genuine, caring, thoughtful person I think I've ever come across.
He's my Tom Hagen.
So Tom.
He guides me in times of trouble. Mark Boerichter.
Yes, sir.
You're walking into an emotional situation, so if you're going to get off your chest, please. You're part of the fam.
No, I was just going to say about Lebo. I'll say this. Like, Jake, you brought up he's on your personal board of directors. Lebo serves on a lot of those boards, by the way, for a lot
right,
of people.
Right.
Type of thing.
He's a special advisor to many.
And he doesn't seem to mind it. You know?
No, not at all.
Sometimes he does.
Maybe it wears him down a little
when there's
bit.
When there's certain disputes between certain people,
well,
he'd like those to go away, but, you know.
You know, but that's one of the things, when I said he's the most, like, one of the most fair-minded individuals I've ever known, he ends up in the, you know, mediating disputes because...
He's Switzerland.
He can see both sides of most things. You know,
he's independent.
He's an incredibly empathetic person. He can see where people are coming from. He doesn't rush to judgment on things. He's just a very, very good human being.
He does rush to leave the messy game at the Arrowhead to beat all the traffic out. So that's one thing that he is working against him. Mark Boerichter, how are you?
Doing well. Doing
Could
really
we
well.
Have some kind of? Do you have some kind of like a space laser or something? Some kind of sounder, something that would match phase one, because phase one of the Chiefs offseason begins today. It's very exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, that's why you're in your phase one.
Yes.
What's that mean to you?
Right. Means the first official day that NFL teams can begin their offseason workouts.
Mm-hmm.
Organized. Where you can actually interact with your strength and conditioning staff and everything else.
Now, doesn't that sound like phase one of the off-season program right there? Listen to this.
Initiating phase one.
They're in it. So, we'll have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes a little bit later speaking about the off-season program. We do not anticipate Andy being too talkative about Rashee Rice.
Probably not, no.
You know. But we'll let that play out. Since the charges came out, I mean, it just like it seems like every little bit of information that comes out just makes it a little bit, it's a little bit worse, right? And so, I think I think it's reasonable that we're all expecting some type of suspension from the NFL.
I would think so. Yeah, I would.
Right?
Stupid question. Is he able to participate in phase one?
Yes.
Any reason not?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Until he's actually suspended, yeah. Right? You're allowed to participate in all that stuff. And again, I heard you guys talking earlier on this. We're not going to see, you know, probably any kind of decision on that until later this summer or, you know, right before the season starts. But, you know, you mentioned every detail that comes out after it. Like, it's the young man who made a stupid decision. But he's still a young guy. Right on things. So it's not, again, I don't want to make light of the situation by any means, because if anything, you know, it could have been a lot worse. And so I guess the good portion of this afterwards is it seems like he's owning up to that mistake. You know, maybe not in the moment when it happened, but after the fact there, it's going to be an expensive mistake for him. We'll just put it that way too on things. Especially based on when you hear his attorney come out and say he's taking responsibility for it and the injuries and different things like that. That's it's a big admission, number one. I think, again, it's a positive admission on that piece, but it's a mistake that's going to obviously it reflects badly on the organization and himself, but it could have been a lot worse. So. But I fully expect there to be some sort of suspension in regards to it.
All right, so now, all things considered, how do you feel about the roster as they head into phase one of the offseason?
I think I feel pretty good about it right now. They've obviously signed a lot of guys back from a year ago. Sometimes that can raise a little bit of a flag, you know, in the old run it back piece. And are you resting on your laurels of the past? But I don't think the Chiefs are in that position right now. I think you've seen the re-signing of certain key guys, Mike Dana obviously being one of those, more so probably than anybody else, that they're ready to go into this draft. You know, we've talked a little bit about this. I know we will a little bit more here today with the draft, but you've got some positions of need, like every team does out there. But you put yourself in a pretty good spot right now if you're the Chiefs. You went out and addressed wide receiver already in free agency. I think there's still more to potentially come there after the draft.
Yes.
You know, last year, and I had forgotten about this, you know, they went into the draft last year without having a left tackle, right? They'd signed Juwan Taylor, who there was talk he could play left or right tackle. They didn't get Donovan Smith until after the draft. So I still think there's an outside chance that he could be back, you know, as another stopgap there for another year on a one-year deal. I think all options are on the table is where I'm going with this. I like where they're at from a roster side of things right now. You've got young depth in the secondary. You know, it would be nice to find a starting left tackle in this draft. You obviously need some more help at wide receiver, I think. I signed Clyde back, so you got depth at the running back position. You know, they've covered a lot of the bases right now where they're not going into this draft with a bunch of absolutely glaring holes.
All right, just to make things clear, phase one, Jake, phase one of the NFL offseason, we have the what that entails right here. 2 weeks. Limited to strength and conditioning activities, dead ball. Only strength and conditioning coaches allowed on the field. 90-minute max on the field. Clubs can only specify 2 hours for players to be at the facility. And players choose the other 2 hours for weights, etc. Dead ball explanation. Quarterbacks can throw to receivers with no coverage. Kickers and punters can kick, but players cannot feel the ball, and no snappers or holders can be involved. Long snappers can snap into a net. And defensive players may not catch balls at all, regardless of who's throwing them.
So. Well, most of the time they don't anyway. That's why they play defense.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah. Pow.
All right, and so that lasts.
Spoken like a true wide receiver, right?
It lasts a couple of weeks. So this, I was about to say, clearly after left tackle and wide receiver, I think that they will address that they love defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid likes, and with good reason, you know?
Yep.
You want to have a lot of bodies that rotate in and out. And maybe it's just me, but I feel like I don't want to say he's forgotten, but I don't hear a whole lot of people talking about Felix Anudike Uzama.
Mm-hmm.
He was a first-round pick last year, and he had a good amount of playing time while Amenihu was suspended, and then Amenihu came back and the playing time disappeared, and then of course he did play in the Super Bowl, had a nice, at least mm-hmm. one nice play, but the hope would be he would take a giant step forward, and if he does, with the return of Mike Dana and then of course Chris Jones coming back and everyone else, and then the eventual return of Amenihu, you would think that it would just make the Chiefs that much better in the second half of the year when they have their full complement of defensive linemen. And so it's going to be interesting. It's not a suspension, but Amenihu's going to miss the first part right. again this year, so they're going to have to put more on Felix. Are you where are you at on him? What are your expectations for him this year?
Well, as you mentioned, they're essentially in the exact same position. If the season were to start today, they're in the mm-hmm. exact same position they were a year ago.
But he has a full off season and everything,
correct.
Right?
I think, you know, their plan, I think, for him ultimately was the developmental side of things also. Okay, on stuff. Where I think you thought maybe he was going to play a little bit more as the year went on. But obviously when Amenihu got back, that playing time decreased. I think it was a developmental year for Felix. I think, you know, he needs to get a little bit stronger, a little bit bigger on that side of things. Also say this, like it's a huge jump to come into the National Football League anyway, let alone now you're going against left tackles in the league who are the best in the world at what they do. You don't see that every day in the Big 12, you know, in terms of like Felix, on a consistent basis. So it's working on your pass rush moves. It's getting indoctrinated into the NFL, understanding what that all looks like. And I expect him to take a step forward this year, Steven, on that side of things. I think they are in a good spot. And they were in a great spot last year because they honestly could afford to not play him very much, you know, especially late in the year because of the emergence of Mike Dana, of Charles Amenihu. I think he'll be a key depth piece for them. That's Felix, that is, this year. And I think early on you're going to see him get a lot more opportunities. And here's the other piece to this is that he's certainly not a bust. I know there's some people out there a little bit like, wow, we drafted this guy in the first round, end of the first round. And
way too early to say that.
It's way too early on that. He hasn't had enough snaps for any determination to be made on that yet. And so I don't want to say he's going to have necessarily a breakout year this year, but I think you're going to see him do some good things for this team and be a solid player. He's just got to have – it's about opportunity.
He had a tackle for loss in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you need him early on.
It's for a young guy coming, you got to learn some consistency on some stuff. And, again, I think this is a developmental year for them, for him. He's long and lean. And so, I'm still excited to see what he's going to be able to do. They just have to get him snapped so that he's able to do it.
Because you have Carl Loftus, you have Mike Dana, so you got your starters there.
Yeah.
And then Amenihu is going to come back eventually. And then you got Felix. Obviously, you can move Chris Jones around. They bring back Derek Nnadi. They bring back Tershawn Wharton, who's versatile as well. They bring back Mike Pinnell. Neil Farrell, Malik Herring, Matt Dickerson, B.J. Thompson, who was a draft pick, Isaiah Buggs. You've got all those names. But, I mean, I've talked to Jesse Newell, Matt Derrick, and they all agree if the right defensive lineman is there in the first round or two, they wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs took him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people are sitting around here looking at Okay, need a left tackle. Right, we had this discussion a week ago. Have a left tackle or wide receiver in the first round. Well, if a defensive lineman is there, that could be an impact guy for you. Now, again, when you start looking at elite pass rushers and defensive ends in the draft, the majority of those guys are taken in the first 15 picks. You know, outside the top 20, it starts to go down from there. But I wouldn't rule anything out. That's why I say the Chiefs, I think, are in a great position right now. You do have needs, right? But you can really truly say, stay right where you want to be on your draft board as things progress down to you. And if you got to package something to get together to go up and get a guy, then you can. If you want to stand pat at 32, you can. If you want to trade out of the first round, you can.
You know, you said let's rule some stuff out. Okay, let's rule quarterback. I'm ruling that out. Running back?
Are we talking first round? Though,
first
right?
round.
Okay, yeah. Running back? I think running back's out too.
I'll even say first two rounds. First two rounds. They can't see you shaking your head. I want you to be vocal. Let
Hell
them have
no.
Whoa.
No running back.
There's no running back going to happen in the first or second round.
No need.
I heard you say that. I didn't hear him saying that.
The right guy's there.
No, don't let him bully you. Say what you want about the draft. He's over there mocking you already
like
before you say anything.
If the Chiefs didn't already have Pacheco, I wouldn't be opposed to them possibly taking a running back in the first round, but they do. So I don't want them taking a running back.
Rule it out.
Yeah. Okay. Not in this
round. You rule out quarterback? Rule it out. First two rounds.
I'm good at quarterback.
Rule it out. We think offensive lineman is a good possibility in the first two rounds.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wide receiver?
Yes.
I'd be okay with that.
Fine with it.
Okay. Tight end?
Yep.
Sure. Second round?
Yeah, first or second round?
We can go first three rounds. We can play whatever game you want to play, buddy. I'm just talking about, you know, I wouldn't rule it
it's
out.
On the list.
If they drafted a tight end in the first round, I wouldn't be mad.
I wouldn't rule it out.
No. Nope.
I'd be fine with it.
Okay. Defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Okay with that?
Sure. Linebacker. I'm going to rule that out.
Yeah. He better be special.
No. I'm not like they would. They're calling it edge rusher, or whatever.
Nope.
If he's an edge rusher, I get it.
Yeah. Linebacker.
Yeah, linebacker. No.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
Safety.
No.
No. No.
Corner.
Yes.
I could see it.
I'll be surprised, but if they did, it wouldn't bother
I would be
me.
Surprised, and I'll say this about the corner position. On a national level, there's a lot of people that look at the Chiefs and go, because of the Jarius Sneed and they traded him away and how good he was, that, ooh, they need a corner. You can't, in this league now, it's important to have depth, and you cannot have too many defensive backs, okay, right, on things. But I don't think people on a national level are actually looking at what the Chiefs did 2 years ago by throwing numbers at the position, and you got some young guys in there that can play, and you still have Trent McDuffie. So I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't think it's as high of a priority as people think on a national level.
If a stud started to
fall. If somebody falls.
If somebody's there to you, absolutely.
I'll take that.
Yeah, if they're going to draft another McDuffie, I'm not going to be mad.
Right. So, I mean, there's only a few positions we rule out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the great thing about the way this roster is constructed.
Absolutely.
You can look at the way this team is right now and, I don't get, well, screw it. They could win the Super Bowl with this team right
they
now.
They just did with this roster.
Right. Right.
We're pretty close to it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Who are they missing? Willie Gay, Mike Edwards.
Yeah.
Sneed.
Donovan Smith, the left tackle, Sneed. And those are some key
parts.
Allegretti.
But I look at it like Shamari Connor. Boy, what a big step forward he took.
Yeah.
I feel like there's another, like in a year or two. Can you believe they traded up and got him in the fourth round? I still can't believe that. That's the next guy in this list of defensive backs. We're like, how in the hell did they get him in the fourth round? And they moved up and got him, right? I mean, so I think that'll ease the loss of Mike Edwards. I think Tranquil and Bolton they're good without Gay. L'Jarius Sneed, we have confidence. There'll be a drop off, but maybe the pass rush gets a little bit better. You know, Felix takes a couple of strides. Karloftis just keeps getting better and better. You know? And so and that's why, again, if you can't go out and get a corner to help you replace knee, what's the next thing you can do? Improve the pass rush. Yeah. That helps the secondary.
Yeah, they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And so, again, they're in a great spot when you look at this roster. That's why I say this thing is not finished yet. And you've heard me say this before, like, really good general managers make the majority of their clout. Obviously, if you hit on the draft, and Brett Veach has done a great job with that, probably better than anybody else recently. But it's these other integral little signings that happen, like Mike Edwards a year ago, right? The Jerick McKinnon piece a couple years ago.
Tranquil.
Yeah, and even getting Donovan Smith after the draft last year, because those are value signings for the price that they are. And even if they're on one-year deal, those are the guys that you sprinkle in your roster that make your roster better from a depth perspective, but then they also end up becoming impact players for you. Because you know what? They're on one-year deal, prove it type deals too, in a lot of cases.
You could also trust them to pick up another corner in the middle rounds that they turn into a great player.
Yeah, there's a lot. Everything's on the table here. That's why I say, when you, Steven, in your face, when you're like, they can win the Super Bowl with this roster. Yeah. Just looking at it. I was like, it is. Now, I think.
But I just hesitated because I don't want to disrespect LeJarius Sneed.
No, Willie I know
Gay
exactly where
and those guys that made it big impacts. That's
yes,
why.
They all made impacts.
I hesitated.
They all made impacts, but they've got the ability to do it. They're sitting in a great spot. And I don't think enough goes into, you know, last year everybody was worried about the wide receiver position and all these different things, but I don't think enough goes into Brett Veach's ability and all the other personnel people there to put together an entire roster. You're always going to have some deficiencies at positions. It's just the nature of the league with the salary cap and everything else. But to be able to put together, again, those value signings in there, those other little pieces to the puzzle, gets you in a great spot that you have this much depth on your roster right now that you can go into the draft truly looking at, okay, we do have places and positions of need, but we also can stay true to our draft board of best player available potentially too.
The only thing they have to add in some fashion is another left tackle. Because they can win games with Wanya Morris, because they did.
I also think I don't think enough can be said about the loss of Nick Allegretti as well.
That's right.
And I know why they let him go, and good for him to go ahead and go get paid.
And he also wanted to start.
He did. And they respected that portion of that, right? I think that's the – but he was such an integral part of this team that nobody ever really heard of because he hardly had to play because they were healthy. But to be able to come in – if you go watch all of his film for the last few years when he did play – he struggles a little bit in pass protection things, but, man, he was good. And to have a swing guy that could play center or guard for you guys as a roster when you're looking at it and a coach, that's unbelievable.
Big chance for Mike Caliendo to step up and seize a spot, an important spot as far as depth on the offensive line. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. We got Mark Boerichter in studio. Is the guest line open? We're going to have an old friend call in at some point. I always like to see the pictures of the Mahomes workouts down in Texas.
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney was sort of working out down there with Patrick Mahomes, which threw Nate Bucchetti into a... But what did it throw you into at first? You were
well. The initial news from Matt Derrick that he was going to be back threw me for a loop.
And you see him working out. You're still on the roster. I'm coming
to terms with it.
We'll talk more with Mark Boerichter about that. But here, the latest picture from Bobby Stroop, Mahomes' personal trainer, he posted of them all working out together. This is 2 days ago. And just tell you who's in the picture. Patrick Mahomes.
Really? Well, that's good.
No way.
Chris Olodikin, who's the third quarterback. Sky Moore. Wide receiver Anthony Miller, who signed with the Chiefs. Nico Remigio, who was undrafted free agent, who played his college ball at Cal before transferring to Fresno State, where he was an excellent return man, a dynamic return man. So remember that. Noah Gray and Luis Riis-Zamet. Right?
Rugby.
The rugby star. And see, there's the picture. If you'd like to see this, Nate. Sky Moore's off to the side over there. See, there's your rugby guy over here. He's happy. Noah Gray is hiding back there. Wonder Mahomes. See, they're all there.
Yeah.
Take away anything from this group that's there. Anyone in particular? Like, I'm glad he's.
I think so much more is made of this than needs to be made. In terms of guys working out together and working out with your quarterback, I just think there's. You know, they
did you ever do that with Trent Green?
Yeah, we did it here.
Because he lived here.
Yeah. It's only made more because Patrick Mahomes lives in Dallas.
But what if a guy's not there?
Well, it depends.
Well, like when McCall Hardman said he couldn't be on Pat Ass all day.
That was actually here in town, too. And that all
look, I think, here's the deal. Like, I don't take too much out of some of this if guys aren't there.
But the rugby guy should be there.
Yes,
but, you know.
And
if you're trying to make the team, you should be there.
Yeah, and here's the thing with that. Guys have other interests in the offseason, too, right? It's not that they're not working out on things. So where I go with this is, if it's different if a guy is just like, no, I'm refusing to go down there and work out at all. That's a little different.
Like, Sky Moore should be there. His interest should be making this football team. That's what his offseason interest should be.
Here's the other thing. As a wide receiver, you should be buddying up your quarterback as much as you possibly can and getting in this good
place. That's
like
the point.
Nico Remigio should be there. Anthony Miller should be there. Yeah. You know, I think it's good that Noah Gray's there.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Who are they going inside? Go inside the tight end for what?
Yeah.
You know?
There can't be anything bad about being there.
No, not at all. Where I go with this is like pictures like this come out and. But look who's all working out here. Like, yeah, these guys are working
Irv
out
Smith.
Anyway. Yeah.
Irv Smith.
They're working out anyway on things. And so I feel like sometimes we dissect it a little too much is what I'm saying with that. But if you're a young guy, there's no better way to get, you know, advance yourself than to work out with the best quarterback in the National Football League. And if your schedule allows you to do it, you should be doing it.
There was...
And I just think there's some guys that... You should schedule around that. There's a few.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you better be there.
Yeah, like back when it was McCole Hardman who was, you know, I was critical of in that year.
He can't be on Pat Ass.
That was a year that he had a chance for him to take a big step forward, right?
Yeah.
Like, there were going to be opportunities. I can't remember maybe it was after Tyreek had left or whatever it was. But it was like, okay, this is your chance to go from being a gadget type player to a more integral part of the offense. Seemed like if anybody ought to be there with him,
I think in those situations too, or in his at that point, like I don't think he handled it well in terms of how he responded to it.
You
know, in terms of being questioned about it,
I can't be on Pat Ass all day. You know what I'm saying? Like,
is that the first time you heard that, Jake? I keep forgetting you missed some of that stuff.
I have no reference to that.
Now play it again, and
I can't be on Pat Ass all day. You know what I'm saying? Like.
That was when they had, because he was not at some workouts that were here at a local high school, and so he was asked about that, and his response was,
I can't be on Pat Ass all day, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel like you really would like, you like that quote.
Yeah, I do.
He can't be on Pat Ass all day.
Yeah. I mean,
can he?
You know, that's brilliant. Yeah.
Jake's just now, I love this.
Yeah.
Jake's just now wrapping his head around that quote.
Yeah.
That's an A-plus quote, right? That's, I mean, you know, that's five stars.
You need to bring Hardman back just for that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Why do you think I'm on the bandwagon?
I went from being critical of him to like, oh, yeah, no.
Yeah,
I get
right.
It.
You
can't be on Pat Ass all day.
You can't. That's, you know, there was a time when I demanded a shirt to be said of that, so that's fine.
I want so bad to believe that this Riis-Zamet rugby player
he's down there.
Is going to be something.
He could be a special teamer.
Yeah.
With the new rules.
So number one, he's a tremendous athlete. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we all saw that.
He's got the side speed combo.
I've been told that he's very cute.
He's got
young
good
lady
hair.
In my family.
Yes, he's got really good hair.
He's handsome.
He's got great teeth. They're very white.
Do you think he's cute or not?
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
Yeah. He's got similar measurables to you.
I think a little
plain
bit.
Day?
Yeah. Definitely better looking to me, though.
Well,
I mean, I'm not arguing
that. That's in the eye of the beholder.
But I think, to bring him up, though, Nate, like, he's an intriguing piece, okay? He's a part of that NFL international program signing where he doesn't count towards your roster to training camp.
Or on your practice squad.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and there's been some guys that have come through that program that end up starters in the National Football League or playing quite a bit. I don't think the expectation, at least mine are right now, are very high of that.
Right.
Okay. And that's okay. But when you're evaluating players and you're evaluating talent, you're looking at things going, okay, he doesn't have a whole lot of experience playing, quote, American football, which is okay. But you're looking at all the other measurables there that can we get him to that point? Now, where this becomes intriguing, and I've heard this said from other people on some things, and it's also intriguing to me, is I'm still getting used to what the new kickoff rules are going to look like. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have, you know, made the comparison of a rugby scrum to that. Okay, that's great. I do see that comparison. But they're not going to be lateral on the ball all the way down the line, and then he's the last one, right? Like, in terms of that. But that being said, like, there could be a spot for him on this roster in some capacity, you know? And that's the other piece of the rules thing that we haven't really chatted about, but you do – I don't know if the impact is going to be as much as they think it's going to be right now, and that's not me going, I don't like the new rule. It's just saying it's going to be different to what the strategy around all of that looks like, because I've heard both sides of this debate that you're going to see – more starters now out there on the field. You're going to see more of a star wide receiver with dynamic ability back there with the football in his hands because they're going to have more time to run. You know, all these different things. It's going to be interesting to see how all of these teams implement a strategy there. Do you put a guy like him back there with his rugby background, or do you put, you know, just a running back back, or what do you do?
So established in 2017, the NFL International Player Pathway, IPP, since then, 37 international players have signed with NFL teams. There are currently 18 IPP athletes on NFL rosters. And since 2017, how many do you think have made active rosters?
Out of 37?
How many total did you say?
37 players signed with teams. There's currently 18 IPP athletes on NFL rosters. That includes practice squad. How many do you think have made the active roster?
I think
11.
I think it's 7. Less than that.
Five.
There's one guy. There's one guy on that list that's gotten paid.
Right. The offensive lineman from
Philadelphia.
Eagles,
right.
Yeah.
And so, the new rules for the 2024 program, beginning this year, each of the 32 NFL clubs is eligible to fill a 17th roster spot on its practice squad reserved for the international player. Now, we haven't talked about this. A participating club is permitted to elevate its international practice squad player to its active roster a maximum of 3 times throughout the season, increasing the flexibility for clubs to leverage the additional player while creating more opportunity to play. Each club will also receive 1 training camp roster exemption for a qualifying player. Clubs may choose to sign players identified through the NFL's IPP program or could choose to independently scout for international talent. So there you go. That gives them a little bit there's a better chance of him at least getting his feet wet, right?
Yep, there is.
It's going to happen.
He's an intriguing prospect.
We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Mark Boerichter, tell Nate Buchady that Kadarius Toney still has a role on this team, unless you don't believe it.
Okay. He still has a role on this team,
oh,
mate.
Boy.
Okay.
Have you accepted that?
Not sure.
It doesn't sound like you have.
I mean, look.
Very reluctant. What's his role on this team?
I don't know, but there's a role. That's where I was going with this. Everybody's
saying
got a
because
role.
Stephen told
it
you
might
to
be
say.
It might be the 52nd guy on the roster, Nate, but that might be his role. I don't know. Here's what I will say, though. Like, Sky Moore, clearly still on this roster, right? Everybody keeps forgetting about him. Or maybe they chose to forget about him. I don't know. That's not a knock. That's kind of unfair of me to say. But here's the thing. Like, the Chiefs did this to themselves last summer. We've talked about this because from a PR perspective, there was a lot of talk from them now about Sky Moore taking a step forward in his second year and Kadarius Toney building off of what he did toward the end of, you know, when he got here in 22. And a lot of talk about Kadarius Toney being a number one wide receiver on things. And we all know how that went this year on things. Because whether he was healthy or not, right, he didn't play toward the end of the year. Now, can a guy's confidence be restored to the for the ability to go out there and catch the football? Yes. You can do that. If he dedicates himself to the offseason, I think coming in and working hard, like you can get over those things. You can. You can get over the yips. But they're not going to give up on him right now. That's where I'm going with this, right? I don't know what his role is. Is there a role in this team for him yet? Yeah, there is still.
Who has potential to do more for this team next season, Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney?
No.
No. I think
yes.
I don't know the answer to that question, and I honestly don't have an opinion on that. I just think that they're not going to give up on these guys right now.
Right.
And if anything, it gives you depth. It may not be quality depth out there, but, you know, you invested a second-round pick in Sky Moore. You traded, what, a third for Kadarius Toney?
If they told you, Mark Boerichter, you have to pick one that stays on the team, who do you pick?
I think I would pick Kadarius Toney because I think he's more explosive as a player than Sky Moore is.
Mm. Who do you pick, Nathan?
If I think that
there's one spot for one of those guys, and you have to keep one of them, NFL rules.
Probably Kadarius Toney.
You said that's so sad.
Well, your answer summed it up. No.
Yes.
Head or gut.
I mean, the thing is, like,
what do you want? Head or gut?
Yeah, like the thing
the
is,
Boy Scout.
I want to believe that Sky Moore can figure something out that will unlock what they saw in him when they decided to draft him. But what we see, like my eye test tells me, he just isn't explosive enough of an athlete to get open in the NFL. Oh. And he doesn't have good enough hands to catch contested balls. Whereas Kadarius Toney, I push back sometimes on people's attitude that he can just house every ball that he touches because the production's not there for the explosiveness that he has. But we've at least seen him make – he is a freak athlete.
Yes.
So there's at least the chance. There's at least the chance that if you hit the right chords with him that you could get – you got a weapon on your hands.
I think the best thing for them with those guys is to just let them go through camp, right? Let them go through this offseason under the radar. They're going to get asked about it, of course, but just let them go out and play and see what happens.
How about this? Make them go through the Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje final 10 seconds. Stand right here. Just start trading shots. Last guy standing, you're on the team. Put it on pay-per-view. $9.95 a pop. I'd watch it.
Yeah.
And then undercard, Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman in the cage. Finally get that thing settled.
Man.
I got lots of ideas that people just ask me. I'll give them. Mark Boerichter, it was a pleasure to see you.
Thanks, fellas. You guys, too.
That's Mark Boerichter. We'll be right back after this on WHB.